And this morning we're kicking off a month long of looking at the concept of serving. And so the message this morning of Easter is a message of serving. And so if you found Matthew 28 verse 1, let me share this with you. And then I've got four quick things that we're going to look at this morning as we meet together. Matthew 28 verse 1 says this: "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye came, that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly and from the sepulchre, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." This morning, we're going to walk through four contexts out of this verses of Scripture. We're going to look at the narrative. Then we're going to look very quickly at the command, and then the challenge, and then the result. Now, if you're part of our church family, you know that for the past couple of days, since Wednesday, we've walked through this narrative of the time of the Last Supper, the time of the crucifixion, and all those kinds of things. And so this morning, what we're going to do, I'm not going to focus on what we've talked about. On Wednesday, we did Passover, which was the day that Jesus met with the disciples. Wednesday night, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was captured. On Thursday morning, the Bible says that by the third hour, he was in the process of being tried by Pilate. By the sixth hour, he was being put on the cross. By the ninth hour, it got dark. And then by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he was dead on Thursday. They buried him. And the reason for that is because if you know history of the Jews, you understand that Passover is the first day. The second day at sundown begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread that runs for 8 days, with another high Sabbath. After that, on Friday was the regular Sabbath. And then when you get to the first day of the week, the first Sabbath after Passover is called the Feast of First Fruits. That meant this: on the first day after the Sabbath, after Passover, the Jews came and brought the very first fruits of their offering and laid it out as a gift to the Lord. Do you think it's by accident that Jesus rose on first fruits? For centuries, they had been talking about the concept of that. And Jesus said, I am the first fruit. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. So we're not going to talk about the cross. We're not going to talk about the tomb. But this morning, we're going to talk about what happened after that. And that is this: that early on the morning of the first day, at the end of the Sabbath, which is after sundown, our time, Saturday night, as it began to get dawn, and I'll talk about this, dawn in Israel begins about 4:30 at the latest. On Sunday morning, about 4:30, the ladies are headed to the tomb. They're burdened down with all of the things that they're going to go and anoint the body. So they're loaded up. But they're headed there to find and see how they could finish up what was started on the day that Christ died. But when they get there, guess what? He's already gone. That catches us up to this morning. So very quickly, let's look at this, the command. The command is found in the verse 5 and 6. But let me set this up for you, because it's easy to read this and go, yeah, whatever. Okay, stay with me on this. Some of you can relate to it better than I can. It's 4:30 in the stinking morning. You're headed to the graveyard. It's dark. On the way, just before they get there, there's a giant earthquake. I don't know about you, that point in time, I'm going home. I'll come back after the sun comes up. They round the corner, come down the hill, whatever, and there is this being setting who looked like lightning, brilliance. And I don't know about you, but in my mind, he's a ghost. He's a haint. He's a spirit setting on the rock. like he belonged there. I guess I've seen too many scary movies. I'm freaking about right now. And then he looks and laying down at his feet are people that look like they're dead Roman soldiers. And then he speaks. And he gives them a command. And the command to me would be like, okay, first thing he says is this, fear not. Fear not. Whatever. Yeah, this giant glowing being sitting on top of the stone, the world, he said, fear not. Now, I don't know about you, but that probably wouldn't have done me a whole lot of good. Because by that time, I am not only afraid, I'm deathly afraid. But it's interesting because here's what he says. The first command is fear not. And the truth is this, if they do not overcome their fear, they will never experience what they want him to see. Do you understand in our faith that it's fearful sometimes? It's hard sometimes? Because it's not always easy and it's not always milk and cookies and a nap in the afternoon. I mean, we live in a world that is so difficult at times. It's difficult to live our faith out even when times are good. Because bad stuff happens to everybody. Fear not. So, okay. Now, number one, you got to understand this. They came to the tomb looking for a dead Jesus. They could handle a dead Jesus. I mean, they came prepared for that. What they could not handle is the fact that he wasn't there dead. You know the only people in all of the narrative that were expecting a risen Jesus? The Jews. They said, hey, this guy says he's going to raise it. We need to put some guards out there. Listen, read the narrative. What? Guess what? The guards didn't help. Listen, when God speaks, when God works, when God does his stuff, no power in hell can stand against it. Fear not. And then what does he say? Come. Come. Again, I've seen too many scary movies. It'll be all right. Let's just go in this building. Come. Why were they there? To see Jesus. To come to anoint the body. Number one, they had this question on the way. If you read one of the other narratives, who's going to move the stone for us? How are we going to get in? Well, when they get there, the stone's rolled away. They didn't even think about it. Praise God, the stone's rolled away. Why? Because there's this being that's glowing and powerful and that's already done it for them. Rather than going, hey, man, thanks for moving the stone. They're like freaking out. Listen, again, if they had not overcome their fear, they could not have obeyed the command. He says, come. Now listen to me, in the Greek, that is the imperative tense. It's not like when we had breakfast and folks came in and I would say, hey, come and get a donut. That's an invitation. Hey, we'd love for you to come and get a donut. That's a suggestion. This is neither one of those. This is imperative. This means he walks over and looks at you and goes, hey, you, go get a donut. This is a command. He says to them, I want you to know, I'm commanding you to come and see. I want you to come and see why you're here. Because you don't remember. It doesn't register with you. Time and time and time again, Jesus said this, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be put to death. I'm going to be dead 3 days and three nights. And at the end of the third day, I'm going to rise. And you've come to anoint a dead body. You're not looking for a living Jesus. Come. Come. Now listen to me. We do not practice veneration. You know what I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. We don't worship the tomb. I know a lot of people that have been to Israel and they go to the tomb. And it's almost if you're not careful, you begin to worship the tomb. You begin to worship the manger. You begin to worship the cross. And none of those are the object of our worship. It is the one who was born in the manger. It was the one who hung on the cross. It is the one that came out of the tomb, who sits at the right hand of the Father today, the one and only Son of God, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come and see. Come and see. By the way, that word see in the Greek comes from two root words that literally means this, to look with your eyes wide open. You know why he said that? Have you ever been really scared of something? How do you look? No, he said, listen, you come in here and look. I want you to have your eye. I don't want there to be any doubt of what you've seen. It needs to be clear to you, because guess what? When you do what you're told to do, you'll become the ones who give testimony of the gospel. You'll be the one who begins to share the gospel. I think I saw that. I kind of had my eyes covered a little bit. Can I just share this with you? It wouldn't have been dark in the tomb. Why? Because the light of this being would have filled the tomb. It was illuminating the whole area. They didn't have a problem seeing. I think he might be there. No, no, no. Come and see. Come and see. The message that starts on Resurrection Sunday is to not be afraid. Not to be afraid. Well, you don't know what's going on in my world. Well, I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. By the way, these were folks that were in relationship with him. This was not some guy wandering down the street who accidentally popped by. These are folks who are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And by being in that relationship, we'd have no reason to be afraid when he shows up. We may be in awe. We may be overwhelmed. But he says, fear not. Because when my willingness to submit and be obedient overcomes my fear, then I begin to experience what he's wanting to do. Can I tell you this morning, you're not here by accident. He's called you here this morning. It may have been donuts. It may have been the charming personality of somebody you met somewhere this week that gave you the invitation. You may have heard they have a great preacher here. I don't know why you showed up here this morning, but listen, you're not here by accident. This morning, here's what God is saying to you. I don't know what's going on. Listen, I may not know what's going on in your world, but he's saying this. I know everything. If you're in relationship with me, you don't need to be afraid. This morning, go down to that church and hang out with them, because they have the message of this. Come and see. He's not here. He's no longer in the grave. We don't serve a dead Jesus, but we serve a living Savior. We don't worship the tomb, we don't worship the cross, and we don't worship the manger, but we worship the one who is the object of all of those. Imperative of command to look with your eyes wide open so that you can discern. That's the command. The next one is this. There is the challenge. See, here's what I know. You knowing all this, you having all that in your own personal life, does nobody any good but you. God didn't bring you into a relationship for you to go to heaven and leave people you know behind. Well, what if I hurt somebody's feelings? What if I'm afraid? What if they don't like me? What if they say bad things about me? Listen, the truth is this. People that we know ought to have to climb over us all the way to hell to get there, because we've been standing for Christ. That doesn't mean I take this Bible and walk down the street and see Mark and whap him on the head. Boy.
I know you'd like to.
Well, some days. Some days. But that's not why. What does it mean? It means this. I live as much as I can like Christ every day. How do I explain me? He's risen. He's no longer in the grave. So what do I do with that? He says in that verse, he says what? Go. You know what's interesting? I think we looked at this 2 weeks ago. Do you remember Matthew 28, 18 through 20? All power has been given unto me. Now I tell you to go and make disciples. Same word. Because when we say that's in that passage, go make disciples. Go is not the command. Go is the condition. It literally means this: as you are going. We talked about this. You and I are going every day, whether we're going to Walmart, to work, to Snappy Mart, to wherever we're going to go. We're going. What are we supposed to do while we're going? Well, if you cut me off in traffic, I may say bad things about you. If you don't get my hamburger right at Jack in the Box, which they have time in the past done that more than once, how am I going to respond? He says this, I've given you a message. See, you've come, you've seen, your eyes are wide open, you have the message. Now, as you're going, It's not the command to go. As you're now leaving here, by the way, when you leave here today, you're going. What are we going to say? How are we going to live? What's our life going to look like? What's the reputation going to be of who Christ is? We are to go. What are we going to do with what we've seen and experienced and we now know? It may be this. It may be nothing more than simply setting a little pop-up camp tent out here like we did yesterday and spend 4 hours just praying with people as they go by. Sharing the gospel with folks who say, you know what, I sure could use somebody who could pray for us. We had a lady stop yesterday, a young African-American lady stop. Before I could get around the car, she was out of the car. Man, I need somebody to pray for me. We gathered around her and prayed for her finances. We prayed for her sons. She got back in the car and she left. Will we ever see her again? I have no idea. But here's what I know. She came encounter with folks who represented Jesus. And the concept of that is this. What are we going to do? He said, I'm telling you what to do. Go. Go what? Go home. You've done your job. You came to the grave. You saw. Now you can just go home. No, no. He says this. Go and tell. It's interesting. This would be one Greek word that some of you guys remember. The Greek word is Lego. L-E-G hyphen O. Lego. Tell. It literally means this. It means this. To lay out systematically. It's not just some blah, 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 but it means to say this. Let me tell you in a very precise, concise, systematic way about what I've seen and what I've experienced. I know there's times when all we can do is walk up to somebody at that Subway and go, listen, I want you to know God loves you. And He does. Hear me. Nobody is ever going to go to heaven because they know God loves them. Ever. Nobody's ever going to go to heaven because they believe there's a God. They're going to go to heaven because we are the ones who go and tell and follow the prescription that God has given us in His narrative called the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible, inspired, immutable Word of God. Go and tell. It literally means to have discussions. Again, it's not me pounding somebody, it's having discussions. Here's what I know. You'll have discussions with folks I'll never meet. I've had folks, Pastor, can you come and talk to so-and-so about this? And my answer is, I will always be happy to come and talk to folks about that. But here's my question. Why don't you? Well, I don't know what to say. Have you never experienced it? Have you not been to the place where you saw the tomb was empty and Jesus was alive and it's become a reality to you? That's all you got to tell. I don't know what to say. Listen, I've heard you talk. You know how to talk. You talk about sports. You talk about television. You talk about politics. You talk about you can talk about who God is. The challenge is not simply to come and see. That's the command. The challenge is to go and tell. Go and tell. And then the last one is the results. We've seen the narrative, we've seen the command, we've seen the challenge. Matthew 28, verse 8, what does it say? And they departed quickly. Now listen to me. They didn't depart quickly because they were afraid. They were afraid, but that was not the driving force. You know why they departed quickly? They had a message. They had a message to share. He is not here. He's risen. He's risen. And they departed quickly. Listen, we do not need to hang around an empty tomb. We have no reason to hang around an empty tomb. We have no reason to hang around an empty cross. I love this. It says they departed quickly. Watch this. Watch this. It says they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. That, by the way, it's the same word that they had in the beginning. But here's the thing that has happened is what was overcoming in fear in the beginning has now been overcome with great joy. With great joys. By the word great there in the Greek literally means is the word mega. Not maga, mega. mega. That's like when you go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. You don't get the 20-ounce, you get the mega, 44-ounce, 62-ounce, whatever it is. Mega joy. The Bible says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whose glory? His glory. The challenge of sharing the gospel is that he's not here. Come and see, go and tell, and the results are this. It says they ran to bring the disciples' word. You see, because experiencing a risen Jesus changes everything. They overcame their fear. It turned their sorrow into joy. It changed their priorities. It gave directions and purpose. And this morning, I will tell you, the call of Easter Sunday for us is this. We are here to serve the gospel because we've come, we've seen, he is not here, he is not dead, and we're told to go and tell. And as we do, the results ought to be this, that with great joy and great enthusiasm and great integrity, listen to me, the Bible never tells us to operate off of emotions. Church was good today because I felt good. I'm going to be honest with you. If God's doing what he ought to in us, there ought to be days when we leave the church, we think, oh, my soul. Man, I've been beat with a stick today. I've had the covers peel back on things in my life that I know I need to address. And yet, at the same point in time, when I came to him with them, he forgave me for them. And today, we're a changed people. They went and told the disciples. Serving is what we're going to be looking at. This morning, serving the gospel. That's who God's called us to do. Serve the gospel. Serve the gospel. There's three words in the Hebrew or the Greek in the New Testament that the word serving. One is the word diakoneos, or from which we get deacon, or which we get the word server, table server. The other is a word that means literally a bond slave. And the third one is the one that leads minister. Can I tell you, as a Christ follower, there's times that all three of those will be a part of who we are. You see, a diakonos, the server, the table waiter, is the one that serves you. Now listen to me. I don't know about you. When we go on Sundays to eat, we go to one place, and the folks like us. They by the time we get there, they've got tables set up for us. They serve us with joy. Now, I know other folks that they serve because they have to. If you work in food service, you understand that. There's jerks out there. That's one kind of serving. I serve you because I want to. The other is because I am your servant. I am that doulos, that bond servant, that the master says, go here. I don't say, I ain't going to do that. That's not to some of my great-grandkids. Not my grandkids, because they're all good. Well, maybe some of them. But it means this. What the master says, I do because I am obedient. And the third one is a minister. We minister to each other. We serve. The call this morning of the gospel is that we serve. By the way, who do we serve most of all? We serve him. Because he's not in a tomb buried somewhere in Jerusalem. But he's risen, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for every one of us every day. Easter message, the resurrection message is this. Fear not. Come and see. Go and tell. Amen? Amen. Father, this morning in this place, we come together as your people, your children, your sons, your daughters, those that you've called, those that you've equipped, those that you've put in place to be the hands and feet, to be the light, to be the ones who by not what we say so much, but by how we live our lives, the representative of what it looks like. And God, here's what I do know, in all honesty, having been in ministry a while, I run into folks all the time that say they're yours, but they don't look much like you. They don't talk like you. They don't act like you. They don't represent you well. And there's other folks who find themselves believing that you're like what those folks are. And God, what a horrid thing to be that person. But what a glorious thing it is to know that when we fail as participants, it does not invalidate the principle. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know this morning if there's folks here who maybe don't have much faith, or they don't have any faith. They may have a faith in something, but they don't have a faith in Christ. And the cry this morning is simply for them to come and see, come and experience, come and discover what it would mean to have a living faith that is secure and a foundation. Others may be at a place that their faith is maybe not what it used to be, that the stuff has got in the way. Maybe there's others this morning that just simply are thankful to say, God, this morning I'm so blessed. And in this place today, we've come together. And while so many folks are looking at the aspects of Easter and those kinds of things, this morning our focus is not on food or eggs or bunny rabbits or dresses or clothes, but it's on the fact that you loved us and you still love us and you will continue to love us. Father, in the next few minutes, I just ask that you would do whatever you want to do. If there's folks here that we could pray for, that they would find a boldness to come and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If there's folks here that folks need to go to and simply say, this morning, I just want you to know how thankful I am, whatever it might look like. As Karen begins to play, and as I finish this prayer up, as we stand and are very still for a few minutes, just giving folks time to respond. Well, what am I supposed to do? Whatever you feel God is calling you to do, if I can pray for you, please know I'd love to do that.